The best way to explain the operating agreement is to just start going through it. We're going to go through it, not line by line, but section by section anyway. And I'm going to give you a little discussion as to why that section's there, whether or not you can take it out, what it's supposed to do, what you can't do with it, what choices did you have when you wrote that section, and I'm going to give you the advantages and the disadvantages. And by the way, it's just as important that you know disadvantages. Let me talk about a little hierarchy stuff for 2 seconds. The state has a statute that governs LLCs, and there are certain provisions in that statute that have to be followed. So you can't write an LLC operating agreement that would violate or conflict with those state statutes. That's the highest priority, the state statute required stuff. Then comes the Articles of Organization, the stuff that you file with the state. It usually doesn't have a lot of information in it. What you write down in the Articles of Organization take precedence over the operating agreement if there's any conflict in the two documents. Then comes the operating agreement. You get to write it down. If you don't write it down, then the state has in their statute a bunch of what we call default provisions. You have the right in your operating agreement to address each one of those default provision issues, and you get to define or do whatever you want in the area of the default provisions. If you don't take advantage of that opportunity and write it down yourself, then you get what the state says on the issue as its default position. Frankly, you don't want a lot of the default provisions. Let's get started with the introduction. It simply defines the document as an operating agreement established on such and such a date and signed by the members whose signatures are at the bottom of the agreement. The date could be the same date as the Articles of Organization were filed, but it isn't usually that date. It's the date on which you have your first meeting, your organizational meeting. And that could be a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months even, after you actually file the Articles of Organization with the state. You might also note that that doesn't actually have to be the date that you actually start business on, according to your IRS records. You're going to file an EIN number, employee identification number, and you're going to learn that you don't want to start business, quote, until you absolutely have to, and you do not file for an EIN number until you have to. Article 1 is definitions, and we've got a bunch of definitions there. Your operating agreement may or may not have a definition section. Most of them do. It's actually very convenient to define everything up front. Then you can write the agreement and refer back to these definitions. It makes the agreement a lot cleaner and a lot easier to read if you do it this way. If you're comparing this operating agreement to another one, you'll have most of the same definitions, but you may have some different, and there may be some here that you don't have. Each member is going to have a capital account. It's kind of like a bank account for the member. When the member puts money in and takes money out, then the bank account, the capital account, goes up and down. When you fund the LLC, you're going to put money in, and then you're going to get a credit in the capital account for the amount of money that you put in. When you put money in, it's really important that you get money back. Now, you don't get money back, you get stock. No, it's not stock, it's membership interests. You get membership interests back. If you give IBM $100, you want $100 in IBM stock. If you give your little LLC money or property or even sweat equity, you want a membership certificate back. And this is really important for tax purposes and also for asset protection purposes. This is what's in course 5 of the LLC wizard. And you might note it's an accounting issue, it's not a legal issue. However, if you don't do the accounting, if you don't do the stuff you need to, then you lose the asset protection. When you take distributions, that may or may not draw down your capital account. And by the way, the next definition is capital contributions. That's the money that you put in. Now, it might be property, it might be real estate. The problem is, if you're putting sweat equity, you're working, In exchange for working, you get stock or membership interests back. The IRS has this funny way of saying that's income to you, and you have to pay income tax for the membership certificate you got, even though you didn't get any money. And this becomes a very critical issue if the stock or the membership interests are going to vest over a period of time. Most people get away with working for the sweat equity and getting membership interests back because they do it right at the beginning, and at the beginning of the LLC, the membership interests aren't worth much, so there isn't a lot of income. You want enough actual capital, money, in the LLC to make it work. It's called adequately capitalizing your company. And it has ramifications if you get sued early on in the history of the company. The states used to require a minimum capitalization of like $1,000, but almost all states have dropped that requirement now. But you do need enough cash up front in order to run the company for a couple of months. Then you can make the claim that it's adequately capitalized. There's a definition for company. Duh, that's your LLC, the name of your LLC. But the name is critical. In course one of the LLC wizard go into great detail about how to qualify the name. Let's make sure that it's available at the Patent and Trademark Office. Let's make sure that you can get related domain names. And let's make sure that it doesn't have any implication for marketing that would be negative. We want the positive marketing implications. My son used to work for a company called 1-800-CONTACTS. Great name. Started out as a college project for a kid. After 15 years in business, they were bringing in $1.5 billion in sales. The neat thing is, anybody advertises anywhere in the United States for contacts. A certain percentage of the people who hear that ad for the competitor will pick up the phone and automatically dial 1-800-CONTACTS. Obviously, your name will have been established in the articles of organization that you filed with the state. You can go back, you can change the name, or you can get a DBA if you want to, a doing business as, and operate under a different name, even though the articles of organization and everything is under a different name. So you can basically have two names, an official name for your company and the marketing name for your company. Definition of distributable cash. You might note that an LLC does not pay dividends. It pays distributions. I told you that lawyers created a different language for LLCs, even though they basically mirror corporations. We have to keep the terminology separate, so we're going to talk about distributions. You might note right at the end of the provision, it talks about that the members and managers can keep money in the company that might be reasonably necessary for the proper operation of the company's business. Well, that becomes a very interesting asset protection tool. It's part of the double asset protection thing that you get with an LLC that you don't get with a corporation. And by having that language in your operating agreement, you can make it taste really bad when a creditor tries to chew on one of your members. That whole process is discussed in Course 6 in the LLC Wizard, but it has to be authorized here in the operating agreement. Note that it says member managers. You may not have member managers. You may have manager-managed operations, in which case you'd just say the managers. But this is the thing that the managers have to do, which means you have to follow it in the formalities. They have to authorize how much is going to be kept in the company.